Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Free Palmer, 89.5 KVRF, presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Mushing Radio here on KVRF 89.5 in the Mat-Su Valley. RadioFreePalmer.org is our streaming site, and you can find all of our podcast episodes not only on iTunes, but also on mushingradio.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just search at Dogworks Radio. We are 3 days away from the start of the last great race, the Iditarod, up here in Alaska. And it's interesting because I'm looking outside right now, and there's absolutely no snow at all in the parking lot. Last year, we had plenty of snow in the parking lot. And this year, I don't know what's going to happen on the trails. We've heard a lot of reports about what's going to go on the trails. But we're looking forward to seeing how it pans out here on this running of the Iditarod. Calling in tonight from Canada, sort of near Ottawa, his name is Stephen LaViolette. Stephen, how's it going?
Not too bad. How are you, Robert?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing, and what's the weather like in eastern Canada there?
Well, I guess it's a little bit weird to say, but I've got actually a lot more snow than you guys do right now.
Yeah, I know it's been a crazy winter. We've been cold enough. We had a little bit of snow early December, then it pretty much all melted mid-January, and we're fighting the trails. I went down a trail last night. It was like going down the bobsledding course in Sochi last night. I hit 24 miles an hour on my sled.
Oh, my Lord.
But the dogs did well, and you know, we're going to talk about mushing Canada style. You and your family go way back. I understand four generations in mushing. Is that right?
Well, yeah, fifth with my daughter now. She's the fifth generation in our family to start this. But yeah, it dates back to my great grandfather. Now, he started doing this. He was a lumberjack by trade, but didn't have enough money, like a lot of lumberjacks back in those days, to have the workhorses as his companion. So they started picking up whatever dog mutts they could find on the side of the road, because a lot of people just left them behind, and started working with the dogs from there.
And your great-grandfather used those dogs very similar, as you mentioned. He used them as they used the pack horses to run the plows and to carry the wood and all that sort of stuff, right?
That's right.
That is the true definition of a working dog. You know, a lot of people, when they think about mushing today, they think about the Iditarod and, of course, sprint racing and all that goes along with it. But there's been a history of a work component. That's really how mushing got started, is all of the mail drivers and the trappers and whatnot. They got together on the weekends, and they told them to, you know, put their money where their mouth is, and let's have a race while we're not out there working, and that's how the sport of mushing got started, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. They would get together on the weekends, like you said, and they would just friendly competitions, as far as I'm concerned. My great-grandfather and my grandfather used to do the same thing back then.
So when you mention your great-grandfather, Stephen, how far back is that? What year are we talking about?
Oh, we're back into the 1800s now. I mean, from when my when my dad was 5 years old, was back in 1942, and he was being taken to school via dog sled back then.
Holy cow.
And so we're talking about my grandfather's grandfather, which was in the late 1800s.
And do you see any of that anymore in your part of the world, where people are still using a dog sled as transportation? You know, I think a lot of people think about that up in Alaska. They think here in the Mat-Su Valleys we have polar bears and igloos, but that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, that's the same thing. There's a lot of the image. People still think that, you know, Canadians up north are still traveling with dog sleds and everything. But no, there isn't a lot of people out there anymore using it as a mode of transportation.
Right.
Me myself, if I go with what I do, I try to stay true to my breed and to my I guess my passion from what my dad and my grandfather taught me by still keeping the work environment alive. But the only way I can get to do that today by staying with my dogs 24/7, 365 days a year is by actually doing some commercial touring. But as far as traveling with today's world, with the roads, with the rules and regulations of townships and all this stuff, traveling with your dogs has become something that's a little bit hard to do. I see a lot of people who still do it. Well, I say a lot, maybe a handful of people that still do it, but they're very rare.
Right, right. So tell us a little bit about your kennel and your business, Tulowok, right?
Yeah.
Tulowok Sled Dogs.
I own sled dogs, pretty much all Siberian Huskies. I have a couple of mixed in there who I got fixed at a young age because for typical reasons I didn't want to breed them. I'm very true to my breed. Up to my father, the generations before me mostly all used any kind of working mutt they could find. When I got into it with my dad, the Siberian Husky was just the one I fell in love with. I've had Siberian Huskies for myself since I was about 4 years old. And my dad bought my first two, and then I started saving my allowance from then on to I had my first team of six when I was 10.
So can you tell us? Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
No, I was gonna ask you there while we're talking about the Siberian. You know, a lot of people see, just recently, at least here in the States, they had the Westminster Dog Show on television. It's televised every year, and a lot of people see that Siberian in the ring, and I know at least firsthand knowledge from being around Siberians myself for dang near 25 years, that's not what a working Siberian looks like, is it?
No, it's not quite like that at all. The show dog and the sled dog are very, very different. Very different. They're very similar in a lot of ways, but their build is very different. It's a beautiful. I don't want to insult anybody that has show dogs because their dogs are magnificent. I've seen a lot of beautiful Siberian Huskies that'll take your breath away, but they're not the type of dog to pull a sled for 100 miles.
Right, right, exactly. So tell us about your dogs. How many dogs do you have in your kennel? What's the setup like there?
Well, my kennel is right outside my patio door. I can't live without my dogs. I never go anywhere. I don't vacation because my vacation is being outside in the kennel. The best time I have is when I'm on my sled. I try to do at least at a bare minimum about 40 miles a day. I don't usually count or GPS what I do. I do when I do build my trails, but besides that, it's just me and nature. And I own 14 Siberian Huskies right now, and I've invested in some puppies from my friends Shannon DeBruin up in Alberta and April Cox in California because my bloodline is getting close to itself, and I don't believe in inbreeding. So I've got to go outside and bring some fresh dogs every now and then. So that's pretty much it. You know, I live with my dogs. I live by my dogs. We run as much as we can. And I've got tons of snow up here, so I get to go out every day, day in and day out. I actually brought my daughter to a race, her first race in Essex County back in November. And while they were racing on dry land, my family was texting me pictures that we had about 3 inches of snow on the ground that was just falling in the end of November. So it was fantastic.
So end of November is typical. When do you get off the sleds finally in your part of the country?
Well,
in the spring.
I that end of November was a kind of like a big thing for me here because usually I can maybe pull in a run or two on the sled because we got some snow at the end of November, but by first week of December it's usually gone until about Christmas time. And then we're full-time on the sleds until usually, maybe if we're lucky, first week of April. But by the way it's going this year, it looks like I'll be on until the end of April easy.
Very nice. And what's the temperature in your part of the world typically in the winter?
Well, today it just varies. Just like you guys, it's been weird here all winter too. We've had weeks at straight minus 35 to minus 40. And then all of a sudden, one night it's minus 40, and the next morning it was plus 2. So
wow.
Like this right now, we're minus 20s, but just last week we were in the plus 3, plus 4, even a day at plus 8. So
you know, it changes so drastically, at least this winter, and it appears to be going, you know, all over North America. We've just had a crazy, crazy winter in terms of temperature. You know, they had snow as far south as South Carolina and Georgia, and of course, we went for about a month and a half without a flurry of snowfall up here. Before we get into talking about racing, Stephen LaViolette is our guest tonight here on Mushing Radio. He's calling in from Canada. Stephen, let's talk a little bit about other things that you do with your dogs. I understand you're not only a sled builder, but you're also a trapper as well. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, again, like the generations before me did, they did a lot of trapping and hunting, which I come from not a very rich family. We were mainly wood people up north. So my father, my grandfather, my uncles, all relied on trapping and fishing to bring some food to the house. Even my dad would tell me stories that when he was 5 or 6 years old, often at times the only way they'd have something to eat is when the boys went fishing for some catfish and brought some catfish home and my grandmother would make soup with it. So it's just the way that I was raised, you know, trapping, hunting, being as natural as possible. So I've kept that going, and I don't believe in wasting the animals either, which is why I use their fur to do productive stuff with it. Most of the animals that we trap or hunt or fish is to feed my family. And yeah.
Go ahead, Steve. I was just going to mention, you guys go ahead and check out his Facebook page. Got some very cool looking pictures of mittens and all sorts of things that he makes. I know that there's a big demand for those. So we're going to see if we can get you an order or two in from this show.
Yeah, I've made about a dozen pair of beaver mitts for mushers all across Canada, and there is a special musher who actually requested a pair of skunk pelt mitts too. So
yes, he did.
Yeah, so I've sold about a dozen pair of mitts to mushers across Canada right now, and I've actually sent a couple. I actually donated a pair to April Cox because of the beautiful puppy she sent me. So I sent her a pair as a gift, and she should be getting it any day now, so she's probably excited as heck. I also sold some beaver boots that I make, and a lot of people are wondering, well, when do you have time to do that if you're doing 40 to 50 miles a day on your sled? I rarely sleep. I don't sleep
much. That's typical of a musher, yes.
Yeah,
we get our sleep in the summertime.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. When summer comes, it's when I gain weight and when I get to sleep.
Stephen, I know you're also a sled builder. My first question to you about that is, what do you think about all the new innovations? You know, I just saw a picture yesterday of the CV family building a really fancy new sled out of carbon fiber hockey sticks. And, you know, everything's getting lighter and more streamlined and cutting pounds wherever you go. But I saw your sled online the other day, and it looks very traditional, a very old school looking freight sled with the wood and the lashing and all that. What do you think about yesterday's sled compared to today?
Well, look, it's a lot like asking me the question about the show dog and the sled dog. Like, I'm not going to down the new sleds they're making today because they're making them for their own needs, and the need
exactly.
is racing.
Right.
And when you're racing against time. So every little bit of weight you can cut down, that's the goal of this, is to get to your finish line as quick as you can. Me, myself, I don't race. It's the other way around. I need a sled that can hit some trees and chase some trees and carry all that weight that I bring in all the time without snapping the sides off. So my sleds usually weigh between 50 to 100 pounds.
Right.
And, you know, it just depends on the type of dog sledding you do. I do look at those new sleds, and I look at them, and I'm like, wow, man, look at that Porsche. You know, fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
That must get some air. But if I put my dogs on that sled and did the type of dog sledding I would do, I don't think I'd bring it back in one piece. And, you know?
What is the terrain like up there in your part of the country? Is it pretty wooded or is it pretty open?
It's very wooded. There's a lot of open spots. You know, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of fields. There's a lot of lakes that we like to explore when we get to get some of that flat terrain. But where I am is in the Laurentian Mountains in Quebec. So it's not like the Rockies in Alberta or anything, but it's pretty, very hilly, a lot of trees, very narrow, tight spots to squeeze through. So if some of the people look at my videos on Facebook, you know, they see a lot of clients and family members yelling when they see trees coming at them. The terrain is a little bit of a mixture of everything. You get a lot of trees, you get a lot of open space. But I myself, I like the trees, so I like the nature. I like to see the tracks in the snow. I mainly do a lot of wooded dog sledding.
Very cool. Stephen LaViolette is our guest tonight here on Mushing Radio. You can follow him on Tulowok Sled Dogs on Facebook. That is TULUUWAK Sled Dogs. Very active on Facebook. Definitely talks a lot about his dogs and what's going on. And I know we're going to mention here in just a couple of minutes about an event you have going on in just a couple of, less than a month, I guess it is, from now. But first, tell us about your daughter. What's going on with her? I understand that she's getting interested in mushing just like Dad.
Oh, she's been interested for a long time. Actually, say hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
That's my daughter, Laquatia. She's been interested in it for as long as I guess she would say she can remember. But like every generation in my family took dog sledding to a different level, Laquatia has decided to take our family passion to a different level as well. She's developed a love for racing. So she loves to get into the atmosphere of the races, to the feel of the racing, while at the same time she doesn't want to give up her Siberian Huskies. So she's a little bit like the traditional sled dog, but into the new world. So she's bringing to like sled dogs into a new way of looking at the sport, let's say, which is also opening my eyes to a lot of new stuff that I'm not used to as well. So, yeah.
Right. How old is Laquatia?
Laquatia is 16 now. She's going to be 17 in less than a month. She's going to be 17 in March.
Do you mind if I ask her a couple of questions, Stephen?
Oh, no, go ahead. Hang on a second. I'll put her on.
All right. Hi, Laquatia. This is Robert from Mushing Radio. I've been talking to your dad, of course, about mushing, and he had mentioned that you're getting involved with racing. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about yourself. Have you competed in any races? Tell us about your daily activities with your dogs.
Well, during the week, I'm up at 5, and then I head outside, and we have a whole bunch of trails in our backyard pretty much that my dad's all made. And so I take my team of 4 girls, and I go out for about an hour, which is about 10 miles, and then by 6 o'clock I'm back. Then I'll wake up my little brother, and we'll both go outside, and we'll take care of the dogs. We'll pick up their poop. We'll give them some soup, and then we'll spend some time with them. And then I come back in, and I get ready for school, and then I head to school. Then after school, I'm back again, and I take care of the dogs until about 6 o'clock. I'm home at 4, and then I'm back in by 6. I do homework and everything else, and then the next day it's the same thing. Then on the weekends, I work with my family doing the dog sledding at resorts, and then it's pretty much what I do every day, all the time.
Are you a sophomore or a junior in school? What grade are you in there in high school?
I'm in grade 11.
Grade 11. So what's the plan for you? Obviously, you're planning on racing here in the next couple of years as a junior. What's your plan in the future? Are you planning on going to college or you're going to be a full-time musher? What's the plan?
Well, I haven't quite decided on college yet. I haven't really had much time to think about that. Pretty much when I'm 18, I want to run the Iditarod, and eventually later on I want to do the Yukon Quest. But right now I'm aiming more for the Iditarod. So I train pretty much for that and everything, and I don't see myself doing anything else but dog sledding. I've tried different things. I've done a whole bunch of different things, and I always come back to my dogs, and it's just, there's just something about it I can't live without.
You know, I totally understand. My daughter is 16 as well, and she has a very similar schedule to yours, just about every day, 7 days a week. And, you know, she often says to me, "Dad, I have no life." And I often say, "You can go to the movies in the summertime when we're not mushing dogs."
Yeah, that's – I think that too sometimes. It's all my friends are going out, and then I'm home with my dogs. But in the summertime, then I do pretty much what everybody else does. And in the winter, I have my dogs, I have training, I have everything. So winter is pretty much, I put everything on hold, and it's all about my dogs.
Awesome. Well, nice talking with you, and we'll be sure to pass along any questions that listeners have, okay?
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you. And if you put Stephen back on, we'll continue on.
Yeah, here he is.
Stephen, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm right here, Robert.
All right, Stephen, we have about 8.5 minutes left, and I want to make sure that we talk about an event that's happening in your neck of the woods here towards the end of March. I understand that Lance Mackey's heading down your way. Is that right?
That's right. I sent him an invitation about 3.5 to 4 weeks ago, and my main goal for that is because, I'm like I said before, I'm not very experienced in the racing world. And when it comes to my kids, I try to give them the best that I can for whatever I can do. And when Laquatia started showing how serious she was about racing and how devoted she was to it, I figured, you know what, I've got to be able to do something to find her the best teacher, let's say. And so without offending anyone out there, I said, you know, who better to have here at home or where we can put him up than the four-time champion himself? So I wrote him a letter. I sent him an invitation. I talked to him about what I was thinking, and he agreed, and he accepted very generously, and we've been working the kinks out ever since, and he's coming to spend a week down here where Laquatia is going to get to learn from the man herself, himself.
Like you said, you got to go with one of the best for sure. And anybody that listens to this show knows the name Lance Mackey for sure. I know he is not running Iditarod this year. He's taken the year off. He did run in the Fur Rondi, the sprint races up here this past weekend, and he said that he absolutely loved it. He had never done the Fur Rondi before, and he did a respectable 14th with his team of. What he's calling the ninjas. He's calling them the ninjas, the young dogs that he has. So I think Lance Mackey's going to do some things in the coming years, and I hope he can share some of that knowledge with your daughter. What's the plan when he's down there? I understand that he's going to bring her dog or two, and that's a highly coveted prize, is it not?
Oh, for sure it is. Whoever he was generous enough that he's actually agreed to put up a couple of his championship dogs up for sale to some of the racers out this way, because he's never actually been to Quebec before. This is the first time for him as well. So to get a chance to have some of his championship dogs down here for a racer is a big, like you said, a coveted gift right there. So our plan mainly is going to be a more relaxed environment for Lance, where we're setting him up in the lodge that I actually offer the tours at. Or one of the lodges where I offer the tours at, and it's a beautiful log lodge with a bunch of little lodges attached with it on a 300-acre property. It's called Manoir des Pins in Saint-Lucie-de-Laurentide, and the place is just gorgeous. It's breathtaking. And we're going to set him up there. We're going to be doing some personalized meet and greets for people to come in and meet him, but they're going to stay at the lodge at the same time. They get to have supper at the company that Lance is there at the table and breakfast, and it's not a bunch of people rushing in to just get an autograph, ask a question, and take off. He's going to actually get to know the people, and the people are actually going to get to know him and talk with him. And he's going to bring some of his movies and make a presentation and some trail talk and so forth. And his girlfriend's going to be there to entertain us in a night of music and the whole thing. So it's going to be a fantastic 5 to 6 day stay with him. Like it's going to be a way that we don't get to sit with somebody of his experience and fame and actually just sit and talk like everyday talk, you know?
Right. What date is he going to arrive? I know we had mentioned later part of March. Do you have a date confirmed yet, Stephen?
Yeah, we're setting everything up for the 25th to the 30th.
25th through the 30th of March. And you said that folks can schedule time to come up and be a part of this. Do you have, obviously it's through your Facebook page, but is there a way to schedule that time, or can just people find out more information at this point?
Well, they can find information as well, but they can call in as of right now at the Manoir they pay themselves, which the phone number is on my Facebook page, and I can give you the phone number before the end of the show as well if you want to. But there's a 1-800 number they can call, but everything is already set up. They can call in and book their time, which is we made some different packages for people to afford, which is not too expensive, but for about $300 they get their own chalet, their own lodge, meals included. They get to meet Lance, spend some time with Lance and so forth. My dogs are always going to be there, so they can enjoy dog sledding at the same time, the whole thing, all shebang together. And it's going to be pretty good.
25th of March, and you can find out more information on Stephen's Facebook page, Tulowak Sled Dogs. Again, it's T-U-U-L-U-U-W-A-K Sled Dogs. Stephen, we're just about out of time. I should have asked this to your daughter, but what's that first question or most important question you guys are going to ask Lance when he's in town? Do you have one?
Well, LaQuisha, what is the first question you're going to ask Lance Mackey when you meet him?
Pretty much if he has anything particular that he does when he trains or anything that he thinks about when he's on the trail.
So did you get that?
Yes. Yeah. One thing in particular that he does in training every time during training to get the best performance out of his dogs. Well, you can't beat that question. I'm sure you could talk for hours about that one question in particular. Stephen, anything else you want to mention before we go? We're just about out of time.
Oh, no. Actually, only if anybody wants to call in to reserve their spot. The number is 800-511-4324. 800-511-4324. Ask for Matthew, and he'll set you up for anybody that wants to reserve ahead of time, which I think anybody should because the places are going fast.
Very cool. Well, Stephen, enjoy the rest of the winter. Are you following Iditarod here in the coming days?
Oh, we never miss it. Now we're all chewing our fingernails to find out where the takeoff is going to happen, if everything's going to be good, how the snow is going to be. So we're waiting with anticipation.
Do you have a favorite this year? Who are you rooting for in particular?
Oh, Robert, that's putting me on the spot. I can't say that.
You know, we usually do a daily Iditarod show here on Mushing Radio. We're not doing it this year. I was planning on having our own race dead in the middle of Iditarod, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen, so we put off our daily Iditarod coverage. But at the beginning of the season, my co-host for that show, Alex Stein, he's a producer and writer of a movie called Mush, the movie, and my pick was either Ramey Smith or Allie Zirkle. I think Allie might just pull it out and come in with a win. She's been very impressive the last couple of years, and of course, her husband, Alan, has been doing remarkable in Yukon Quest and all the mid-distance races.
That's right. And if you ask my daughter, I think she'd tell you she'd be rooting for Allie Zirkle right off the bat. She did a paper on her and everything, and she's very excited about how she's moving on into the racing world anyway.
Very cool.
I'm going to keep my trap shut on it because I don't want to offend anybody, and I want everybody to just go for it, you know?
No problem at all. Well, Stephen, it was a pleasure. One more time, I want to mention your Facebook page, Tulowak Sled Dogs, T-U-U-L-U-U-W-A-K Sled Dogs. Very, very cool page. Lots of information, lots of pictures. Stephen, nice meeting you over the phone here. We'll keep in touch, all right?
Nice meeting you too, Robert, and thanks for the opportunity and the interview.
No problem. Stephen LaViolette calling in from Canada. We'll talk to you guys next time. Goodbye.